Welcome to another short reading of the book of Luke. We're on a treasure hunt to find the riches of the kingdom of God. The language of poverty and wealth is found all throughout the book of Luke. Luke actually says that those who are poor are blessed because they're going to inherit the wealth of the kingdom. So we're trying to compare and contrast the wealth of the kingdom to the riches of this life that are not worth nearly as much as the wealth of the kingdom. Jesus says it's really important that we pay careful attention to how we listen. When Jesus speaks, there's always a hearing test going on. Here in the beginning of chapter 7, we're going to see a guy who has passed the hearing test. Let's look. In 7:1, it says, when Jesus had finished saying all these things in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and he's built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He wasn't far from the centurion's house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And then in verse 9, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and he turned to the crowd following him and said, "I tell you the truth, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house to find the servant well. And here we have a glimpse of wealth in the kingdom. Here's the thing. If you understand your situation well enough to know that you can ask Jesus for help, then you're a far wealthier man than somebody that has a lot of gold and a lot of silver, but has no one with the authority to heal as Jesus has. So what made the centurion wealthy was his access to the king of the new kingdom. That far more so than any gold or silver he had. Let's continue. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout the country. John's disciples told him about all these things, in particular, the dead man being brought back to life. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And so that's what they asked Jesus. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." One way to talk about the wealth of the kingdom is that the kingdom of God has God as the king. And so back in verse 16, they're celebrating that very fact that God said that one day he would return and shepherd his people. He would be their king, he would be their God, and they would be his people. And Luke is saying this is now that time. And in particular, Isaiah 61, Jesus is referring to the time of the Lord's favor. And the wealth of the kingdom is this: wherever the king is, that's where his kingdom is. And his kingdom is a kingdom of wealth. So we're working to rework our understanding of wealth. Let's try it in this little story. Let's try to see who is wealthier. We've got two characters here. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, something, by the way, that would have cost her dearly, and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "Well, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of a woman that she is. She's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he says. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender." It's interesting how often money crops up in stories. Seems like once to talk about money, you know, God has our attention. "One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. So we might pause and just wonder about that too. Who's wealthier? I mean, both of these had their debts forgiven. But let's say that you had $500 forgiven or $50 forgiven. Is one of those people more wealthy than the other? Of course, the answer is yes. One of them was $500 in debt, and now he's not in debt at all. The other one was only $5 in debt. You see, Jesus wants us to think about wealth in a different way. And here we're going to see in particular the wealth of the kingdom. He says, "Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' Now all the guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Luke wants you to wonder that too, matter of fact. Or he wants you to already know, well, you're dealing with God here. You're watching God forgive his people. And so Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" So who is more wealthy? The one who has been forgiven little or the one who has been forgiven much? You know, your pile of sins, what they do is they rob you of peace. And so here we see two pictures of the wealth in the kingdom. One is forgiveness, the offer of forgiveness, and the result of peace. That's the wealth of the kingdom. When you recognize that forgiveness and peace are the wealth of the kingdom, it doesn't seem troubling at all to pour expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, because that's merely worldly wealth. She's found something far greater. And now here in Luke 8, this is really where we started with this whole project. My thought was this: let's read this parable and then turn around and read the book of Luke and see where we can find this played out. Where do we find Jesus sowing the seed and some people who hear, they don't understand what he's saying, none of it looks like a good opportunity, and they reject it outright? Where do we see those who receive the word with joy when they hear the announcement the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the good news? They jump for it. There's freedom from sin. There's forgiveness. There's life in his kingdom. But where do we see that? Here we are to the parable of the sower. Matter of fact, we're reading Luke, trying to read it through this lens. Jesus says that it's possible to hear the word of God, receive it with joy. Great, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. You turn from your self-ruled life. You enter into the kingdom. Finally, the time of God's favor has arrived. But there's a danger here. He says that it's possible that as we go on our way, that the word of God will be choked out by life's riches, And he talks about worries and pleasures too, but we're focusing on life's riches. And the consequences is that we don't produce the fruit of the kingdom. We don't obey him. We don't even pursue the wealth of the kingdom. Jesus says that that's a tragedy. God intends for his word to be like a light that guides us, that we see it and we respond. He says no one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that won't be disclosed and nothing concealed that won't be brought out into the open. Therefore, he says this. This is a listening test. Consider carefully how you listen. You want to listen in a way that causes you to rework your understanding of the value of life's riches and recognize that there are things of greater value than life's riches, the riches of the kingdom. And so what we're doing is we're trying to apply that. We're on a treasure hunt. We're looking out for the riches of the kingdom of God because Jesus says that whoever has, more will be given. That if we can discover the riches of the kingdom of God in forgiveness, for example, the woman we looked at a minute ago, and the peace that she found, well, we can start there, then we'll be given more riches. There's more to be gained. But he says the danger is this, that if we don't rework our understanding of true wealth, if we don't learn to value the riches of the kingdom of God over the riches of this world, that even what little wealth we have will be taken from us. Let's ask the question again. Who's wealthier? Is the king's son wealthier? Or is it somebody outside the kingdom who has more wealth? Good question. Jesus addresses that here. He says, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside, waiting to see you. And Jesus replied this, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Here we have the wealth of the kingdom. We have the status of being a brother, a mother, a family member, a member of the king. In other words, my mother and brothers are those who produce the fruit of the kingdom. They put God's word into practice. This ties very neatly the combination of the wealth of the kingdom, the status as being a child of the king, and obeying the king. Here's another good passage to think about the wealth. Remember Jesus says that whoever has, even more will be given? Let's think about that as we read this passage. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Well, what a great question that is. Who is this? The wealthier man knows who this is. They know that they have God as their king, and he does command the wind and the waves. And what is the wealthier? Well, who is wealthier? The one who has faith and the one who knows that God will provide, or the one who is full of anxiety and is not really sure how everything is ultimately going to end up? Faith is a big part of the wealth of the kingdom. Let's think about it from the standpoint of whoever has more will be given. One day Jesus invites his disciples to get into a boat. They have enough faith to follow him into the boat. And in the boat, they are going to later conclude that the one they followed even has the authority to command the winds and the wind and the waves. What little they had to get them into the boat, even more was given. I mean, it was a terrifying gain of wealth. They thought they were going to die. But more was given, wasn't it? Nobody can ever take this from them. So Luke is asking us to rethink wealth. You might say Luke's not talking about wealth here, he's talking about religious stuff like faith. The truth of the matter is, faith and understanding and peace and forgiveness, these are all part of the wealth of the kingdom. And Luke is saying, this wealth is yours if you're willing to search for it, if you're willing to let go of your tight, stingy, thieving grip on worldly wealth, perhaps, and pursue the wealth of the kingdom. God bless, and we'll join again.